good afternoon, good evening, whenever it is you're listening to this. I want to say thank you for joining me yet again today. It is an absolute pleasure to spend time with you today, my friend. Do you ever get scared? I mean, so scared that you can hardly move, that you're just chilled, clear to the bone? I do, or at least I used to. But now I turn fear into faith. I spend time in the Bible every day, and I listen to God's promises. There are so many of them. When I connect to my higher power, I know that I'm not alone. I know that the obstacle that I'm facing is way too big for me, but my God is bigger. Maybe you need to remember that today. Maybe you're facing something that you are so afraid of that it just... Maybe you're like I used to be. You just want to stay in bed and suck your thumb. I've been there. And I've also been able to rise above with God's help. This morning I was spending time in the Word, and I was doing a devotional. And he said, one of the things he said, we're coming up on Easter weekend, Good Friday. And my daughter asked me the other day, she said, Mom, why is it called Good Friday? Jesus was tortured and killed. And I said, yeah, honey, it's not called Good Friday because of he went through, but because of why he went through it. He went through it so that we could be saved. He did it for us. He went through that for us. And I was like, wow, what? You know, and that still just boggles my mind. How could somebody send their son to go through that for their other children? It just humbles me and gives me hope and faith. And so we were talking, and I was reading this morning, and the devotional that I was reading was talking about go out and live the life your Savior died for you to have. And I thought, wow, that is such a different perspective. I never thought of it that way. The Lord died so that he could bless me, so that I could be forgiven, so that I could draw near to him. Because if Jesus Christ hadn't died on the cross, I wouldn't have that possibility. I wouldn't be able to step into his presence and be seen through the veil of Jesus Christ, because it never would have happened. And I look at that, and I look at how the circumstances played out exactly as it had been predicted. And I think, what in my life has been predicted? And how are my choices changing my life? God gave us free will. We get to decide what we do, when we do it, where we go. You know, even some people do it to the detriment of others. Thank goodness that the vast majority of people care about the fellow man and think about how their actions will impact others. Thank goodness for that. Praise the Lord for that. And we constantly need to remember to open ourselves to God's plan, because his plan is so much bigger for us. I remember seeing a meme the other day that said, David's brothers saw him as a shepherd. God's plan was for him to be king. I was like, wow, what an incredible thought, right? What does God have planned for you? I don't even know what he has planned for me, but I do know that when I spend time in his word every morning and I connect to him through nature and kindness and love and feeling compassion and empathy for others, that I'm able to see his path more clearly. And every morning I ask for the courage to run the race that he has set before me. Because my friends, it does take courage, does it not? When you feel that your conscience, that little poke, I call them God pokes, that little poke or nudge that you should do something or reach out to somebody or say something. Sometimes it's not always comfortable. Sometimes it's scary. And in the moment, I want to look away, or I want to say, oh no, I misunderstood, because I'm afraid. Then I remember, oh yeah, God gives me courage. And as I look at that obstacle in front of me that is so big in my eyes, then I remember who is standing beside me. I remember what he has sacrificed. I remember what he has done for me. And I realize that through faith, he will help me. He will do it for me. He makes up the gap. I can't do it, but he can. And every day I see his miracles. When I see a little baby, that's a miracle, my friends. To take two half cells, bring them together, and create a multifunctioning, incredible human, that's a miracle. Or when I look at a tree growing, or the grass, we're just now coming into spring here in Utah. Things are starting to bud, the birds are singing, and I look at all of creation, and I realize that I am God's crowning creation. That's a big order to step into. And I know that I fall short because I am a sinner. Thank goodness for God's forgiveness. Thank goodness for God's grace and mercy. Thank goodness that before I was even born, before I was even thought of, 2,000 years ago, he had a plan that he fulfilled through his son, so that I could be saved, so that I could pray to him and my sins would be washed away, washed as white as snow. That's the faith that I'm holding on to today. That's the faith that when I fear that fear start coming up, I'm like, no, I choose faith, not fear. And I go into gratitude for all the things that are around me. I say, thank you, Lord, that I'm alive today. Thank you, Lord, that I have breath in my lungs, that my brain is working, that my body is working. I say, thank you, Lord, for my limbs. Some people don't have them. I say, thank you, Lord, for my ability to think and process and try again. Some people aren't able to do that. Now, I don't know where you find yourself, but I know that if you're listening to this, that this hopefully will touch you and let you to start seeing things a little bit differently. You see, it's a choice that you make. Viktor Frankl, in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, talks about how there's a stimulus and a response, and between those two things is a space. And in that space is our power to choose our reactions. What reaction are you choosing? Some people don't even think there's a space. They think that other people are causing them to do the things that they're doing. That's not true. You're choosing your reaction. Or you're choosing your action or inaction. It's all a choice. Now, there may be tremendous pressures on you to make one choice over another. It's still your choice. So often, I find in my clients and people that I work with all around the world that they think that the choice should be between something good and bad. Wouldn't that be great? That's an easy choice to make, right? I choose good. The problem is that many times the choice is between two good things. And it can be difficult to choose because there's no clear choice. So many times we become afraid to make the choice because we think we will miss out on something else. We forget that if I make a choice and it's not turning out quite the way I want it to, I can make another choice. I can change and I can choose something different. Now, some choices, when we discard them, go away. Those options are gone. And some of them aren't. It just depends. Life is all about measure, monitoring, and adjusting. Sometimes we're afraid to make the choice because we're afraid of making a mistake. I love cryptograms. my stepmom used to do them all the time, Judy, and she was so good at them. And I would pick them up as a younger kid and look at them and go, oh my gosh, how do you do these? And in my eyes, she was like the most brilliant person ever because she would do those things. Now, I don't know if you've been with me very long, but if you have, you've heard about my story about schooling and education for me. It was so difficult. They told me I was too stupid. I would never make it through. I had dyslexia. I had difficulty spelling. I had phonetic difficulties. I couldn't hear right. I couldn't speak right, right? All of these strikes against me, so to speak. So when I would pick up those cryptograms and look at them, it was so confusing. Now, I love them. My husband and I got a calendar a while back, one of those calendars that you tear off every day, and it was problem-solving calendar. I love those. I love to solve problems. And about every 10th or 15th day, they would have a cryptogram. Now, a cryptogram is when they replace words and letters with different letters. So for example, joy, is usually spelled J-O-Y, but the word that I would have, the cryptogram part would be like G-C-T. And then I would have to figure out what letter it really represents. That's a cryptogram. And this past December for Christmas, my son asks me, Mom, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, I want a book of cryptograms because I remembered Judy doing those and how they seemed so far outside of my abilities. And here I was doing one about once a month and I was getting better at it and learning. And so my son, that's what my son got me for Christmas. And I've been working through it. I don't do it every day, but I'll do a few puzzles a week. And it's the same thing every single time. When I first sit down and open the book and I look at it, I'm like, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this. And then I'm like, whoa, Jeannie, words create. Do you really want to create that in your life? So then I say, okay, all right. I can do this. I can figure this out. And I start guessing. You guys, that's powerful. I take a chance. And I realize that if I guess wrong, I can erase and start over. That's the beautiful thing about so many things in our life that we don't even realize. We can start again. We can try again. We can erase and start over. Now, sometimes that's not possible. Sometimes the price tag of our decision is just too high. And I've also realized in my life that price tag goes up the more I ignore the lesson I'm supposed to be learning. For example, my son was pretty young. He was probably about 5, and he was running down the sidewalk and his shoe was untied. And I said, hey, Max, you might want to tie your shoe. I'd hate for you to trip over it. That's all I said. And he ran, and guess what? He tripped over his shoelace. And he skinned his knees and his hands, and he cried. And we cleaned it up and put Band-Aids on it, and I gave it kisses, and he healed. And then a little while later, we were getting ready to leave. He was probably about 7 or 8 at this time. We were getting ready to leave the house, and it was winter. And in Utah, it's cold in the winter. And if I remember correctly, it was probably about 20 degrees outside. And I said, hey, Max, you might want to grab your coat. It's cold outside. He was grumpy about it. So I just let it go. And we got in the car. And he was like, oh, it's cold. And I said, yeah, that's what happens. I'm so glad I brought my coat. What these examples are examples of lessons that came to my son when he was young. And I allowed him to fail at them. Because at that time, the price tag was small. Some skinned knees, a cold moment until the car warmed up and the heater heated the inside of the car. Those are small price tags. as he got older, he learned to trust my judgment because the price tag goes up. As a teenager, he would come to me and say, "Hey, Mom, I've been thinking about this." And he would lay it out. "What do you think, Mom?" He would seek out my counsel, and he still does. He's 22 years old now, and he still seeks my counsel. Why? Because he paid the price when it was small. Are you accepting the price? Are you allowing others to suffer the cost of their consequences or their decisions? Are you suffering the cost of your decision? But instead of saying, "Oh yeah, I learned my lesson," you're angry, or you're struggling against it, or you're fighting against it, or you're complaining. You see, my current struggles are building my muscles for my future obstacles. As I build my faith every single day in the small things, it's there in the big things. It's lifting a little bit more weight every day. It's getting a little bit stronger every day. If you're not faithful in the small things, you'll never be faithful in the big things either. Because the amount of strength and courage it takes to do them will crush you. Just like that big decision. You see, so often people spend time on the big decisions. They look at the pros and the cons. What's good about it? What's bad about it? And they weigh all of their options. And they spend time thinking about it. And then they finally make their decision. My friends, usually it's the little day-to-day decisions that trip you up. The honesty, the, you know, integrity in all things, the having the courage to speak your truth and let people know what you feel and think, that takes a lot of courage. And if you can do it in the small things, you'll do it in the big things. I hope and pray that as I continue to go through my life, I learn the lesson the first time it comes around. Just like my son saying, "Oh, it's cold." About 6 weeks later, we were getting in the car and I rushed out. You see, the sun was shining kind of like it is today. The sun is shining today and it's only 25 degrees outside. And so I call that false advertising. And so I was headed out the front door and we went out and got in the car. And I'm like, "Oh man, it's cold." And a voice from the back seat says, "Yeah, Mom, that's what happens when you don't bring your coat. I'm glad I got mine." I was like, "Yep, touche, Max, touche." He learned his lesson. And you know what? So did I. And now I take a coat with me. If it is spring or fall or winter, I take a coat with me. Why? Because I don't want to be cold. I'd rather be hot than cold. I've learned my lesson. What lesson should you be learning right now? What lesson should you be taking to the Lord and saying, "Lord, help me understand, guide me, direct me, show me the path"? Now, sometimes we think he should answer us immediately, and you know what? He does. And other times, he doesn't. And so it's okay to keep praying. It's okay to keep asking because you know he will answer. Believe. I have 3 pictures on my wall. I have a bay window and each window over it has a picture. And the first one says, "Imagine." The second one says, "Believe." The third one says, "Trust." And the fourth one says, "Celebrate." You see, I imagine making a big difference in this world. I imagine helping people from all over the world, impacting them, lifting them, encouraging them, and shining a light in the darkness. And I believe that's possible because it's coming true. And I trust that the Lord walks beside me and guides me because he does. And I celebrate every day my next step. I don't always wait for the outcome. Too many people wait for the harvest. My friend, you need to celebrate the planting of the seed. You need to celebrate the preparing of the soil. And then you need to celebrate the watering and the pulling of the weeds, because it's along the journey that we get to celebrate the most, because that moment when our dreams come true is pretty short-lived. And then it's time to celebrate and move on to the next one. Today, find something to celebrate. Today, find something to be grateful for. Today, build your faith in Christ. Today, let me know I can be of more service. Thank you so much for joining me today. Have an absolutely fabulous day, my friend, and bye for now.